Proverbs in chapter 23, verse 26 is where we're going to be reading. We're going to read one verse here that has a whole lot that we can glean from it. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. We've been looking at this topic of reaching your rebel. As you know, we've been looking at, took some time to look at courtship and the Bible's point of view of courtship. Then we took a little break. We had a time where we were looking at marriage. Then we took a little break. And now we're looking at this idea of raising our children. And what we're looking at is raising or reaching, rather, your rebel. And as we've been going through this, we have been emphasizing the importance of getting your child's heart. That the key ingredient in raising children is to get and keep your child's heart. We have a world out there that is raising a lot of good children. And they're good children. There's unsaved people out there, and they're raising nice, quality children. They're not saved, though. That's a scary thought. What God doesn't want us just to raise good children. As parents, we have the responsibility before the Lord and become accountable someday before God to raise godly children, not just good children. There's a difference there. And we'll be accountable for that in a coming day. And the key ingredient in raising godly children and to be able to pass our convictions on to the next generation is to be able to reach their heart. Be willing to pay the price to win their heart early and be able to pay the price to keep their heart through their life. That's a very, very important thing. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We read here in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my way." So we notice that it's very important to keep or to win and get the heart. If the heart is then so important, then there are some aspects about the heart that we need to learn about first. If the heart of our children is that important, then there's some things we need to know about the heart. Number one, rebellion is a heart problem. Rebellion is a heart problem. The heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. Oftentimes we as parents, when we see our children rebelling, we want to fix the outside. We want to fix the behavior. It is important for us to go beyond the behavior and go and reach for the heart. The behavior is a symptom of a heart that is in the wrong place. And we can fix the symptom, but still have the rebellion on the inside. And that way the children then learn to live in a double face type life, because they've learned to deal with all the exterior symptoms while the heart slowly but surely begins to go into another direction. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So the next thing I'm going to learn about the heart, and all of this is just reviewing, we already covered this before, I'm just going over quickly of the review, is that in the same place you find your child's heart, you will also find their life and their loyalty. You want to find where your child's heart is, that's where their life is, and that's where their loyalty is. Can I just softly and tenderly ask a simple question? Would my children prefer spending time with me more than going somewhere else? Spending time with someone else? Do my children value spending time with me? If so, I have their heart. If not, I'm losing their heart. That's one way of knowing. Do they value your presence? Do they respect your presence? So, because where the heart of your child is, there their life and loyalty will be also. Unfortunately, we're living in a day today where children are investing their heart into friends, into video games, into secular activities more than they're investing their heart with their parents. So where the heart is, there is where the loyalty is. The truth is the same in the assembly, brethren and sisters. If my heart is in the assembly, my life and loyalty will be there as well. Living will be wanting to serve him, wanting to live for him, wanting the better of the assembly, praying for those who are there. If my heart is out in the world, but I'm physically here, externally I wear the suit and tie and I sit here in my chair and I close my eyes when they pray and I sing when they sing, but my heart is somewhere else, that means my loyalty is not here. I'm physically here, but my loyalty has wandered somewhere else. And wherever my heart is, there is where my life and loyalty will be also. These are just review with regard to the heart. I want to go ahead and take a look at the next one, which has to do with the children. Children have a desire to give their hearts to their parents. God has placed within the heart of every child a desire to give that heart over to mom and dad. I love this thought. Because children will always sit and listen for the praise and approval of their parents. Son, you did a good job. Thank you for thinking of somebody else. I appreciate when you did this, and so on. Children always long to listen for the praise and approval of their parents. They long to give their hearts to their parents. It's an innate thing that's inside of each child. You may say, well, my child doesn't want to give me their heart. I've tried many, many things, and they just don't. Hold tight. We'll get to that in just a second. Inside here, though, there is an innate desire for a child to give their heart to their parents. Do you remember Esau? What Esau said in Genesis chapter 27, verse 38? He said, bless me, even me, oh my father. What's he doing? He's reaching out to daddy. He's been cheated, yes, by his brother, but he's reaching out. He has a desire to be to have his father have his heart. Now again, you say, well, my child doesn't want to give me their heart. You don't know my child that well. It might be easy for you to do. No, it's not. But anyway, it might be easy for you to do, but for me, it's very difficult. My child doesn't want to give me their heart. Can I suggest to you that, again, lovingly and humbly, there could be something that you as a parent did or did not do to your child or children that is causing them to have the reaction of not wanting to give you their heart. Because a responsibility lies here. And that something of whatever you did or did not do could be something that you don't even realize you did or did not do. See if I can make that a little bit clearer. Whatever it is that you're doing or not doing that's keeping your children away from you and not giving their hearts to you could be something that you don't even realize you're doing or not doing. You could be totally unaware of what you're doing. You say, but I'm trying everything. Okay, whatever it is in your blind spot. Whatever it is in your blind spot, because God has placed within the heart of every child a desire, a longing to give their heart to their parent. Perhaps in your blind spot is this. Maybe it's a harsh or critical spirit. That every time your children are around, the way you speak to them is in a tone of voice that is, I'm superior, you're inferior. I'm smart, you're dumb. I've seen that oftentimes with parents. And I'm smart, you're dumb. And that tone of voice, they don't say that, but that tone of voice comes through in what they're saying. That, in and of itself, can push the heart of a child away from their parent, where they don't want to trust their parent. They don't want to love their parent. They don't want to give their heart to their parent. Can I say that the opposite is also not good? I was at the store not too long ago, and we were I think it was Burlington Coat Factory, and there was this little girl. She was about 3 years old, and mommy was calling her by name and saying, come here. Come here. Come here. I'm serious. She must have done it over 20 times and with the same tone of voice. There was no harshness. There was no anger. She didn't get upset. She didn't lose her patience. She had it all together. She just said, and the child was going around as if mom had said nothing or spoke another language and didn't understand her. You've probably seen that too. You see, that in and of itself will also lose your child's heart because your child has no respect or loyalty for the parent and the authority of what the parent is saying. So that's the other extreme. I could lose my child's heart by not softly and meekly and gently showing them who's the authority in the house. But I can also lose their heart by going in the opposite extreme, having a tone of voice that makes me feel superior and them inferior. Maybe it has to do with a harsh or critical spirit. Maybe it has to do with a perceived injustice on the part of the children. Perhaps they don't know why Johnny got a candy and Sally did not. A perceived injustice. Now, as a parent, you might know why, but that doesn't help the child. If the child perceives injustice, that's something else that will cause their heart to wander away and not want to trust. Do you want to trust somebody that you perceive as unjust? No. You want to trust them with $100? $1,000? No. And we're asking our children to trust us if they perceive injustice in us? No. They're not going to give us their heart if they perceive injustice in our dealings. If we've done something and they perceive injustice, we should sit down with them and show them why we did what we did so they understand and learn true justice. How about spoiling the child? That's another way of losing your child's heart. Everything your child asks for, you give them. Mommy, I want this. Can we buy that? I don't have enough money to buy everything my children want. I'm glad, right? Because there are times when we have to say no. But there are families that are wealthy and they're very well-to-do, and they very well could purchase the jet ski for the kid and the yacht for the girl if they wanted to. But that is going to spoil them, and that spoiling is not going to win their heart. It's actually going to cause them to be pushed away. Maybe that blind spot is favoritism, where one child is favored over another. And that causes the hearts of the other ones to become cold and hard because they want to give their hearts to their parents, but they cannot. Perhaps the blind spot is inconsistency. And I want to tell you, sometimes I'll be very honest with you, I have a trouble with consistency. I have to say something and then complete with what I say. Okay? I'm not perfect. But here's the truth of it. Inconsistency in our lives can also cause us to lose the heart of our children. You know, Jacob and his sons. I guess Jacob had favoritism toward Joseph, didn't he? It says in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Jacob is playing favorites here with his children. And his other children are watching. And their hearts, they want to give their hearts over to their father. And it's something that they actually notice. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 4. It tells us that they actually notice this. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated Joseph. They hated him. Maybe favoritism was the mistake Jacob made as a parent and lost the heart of all his other sons, except for Benjamin. And you know what? It could have been a mistake that Jacob made, and he didn't even realize he was doing it. I heard of a father who had a very good relationship with his children. They were sitting in the car, and he told his eldest son, he says, "Does Dad play favorites?" And the son told him, "You know what, Dad? Come to think of it, you do." That father said, "You know what? I didn't even realize I was doing this. I didn't even realize it. Come to think of it, you do. You know when you do this with this?" And gave him several examples. And that father humbly accepted what his child was telling him, and he corrected it. I want to tell you, that's a parent that's going to go somewhere. Because he's humbly accepting what it, and again, it's a parent who was playing favoritism and didn't even know it, much like Jacob in the Bible. They're playing favoritism, and he didn't even realize it. You know, children like to give their hearts to their parents because oftentimes children will notice relationships, parent-child relationships in their neighbors. And they think to themselves, "If only I had a daddy like he has. If only I had a mommy like she has." Sometimes they see parent-child relationships in their schools or in meeting or even in the movies. I don't support going to the movies at all, by the way. But maybe they're also in soap operas. I don't support that either. But these children are exposed to that, and perhaps they have this fantasy thing in their head of a parent-child relationship and what it should be. Perhaps they drum up a relationship within their own imagination. But the truth of the matter is, children draw up what they consider a father figure to be. Why do they do that? Because it is within the heart of the child to give their hearts to their parents. Now, we as parents need to stop and say, if they're longing for a father figure, why can't we be that father figure for them? As saved and in the assembly and moving on for the Lord, why can't we be that father figure for them? Why would they have to look for it elsewhere? Whether it be in school or whether it be the neighbors or whether it be wherever, they can see that father or that parent figure within us. That's actually our responsibility before the Lord. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6 gives us God's blueprint for the family. And he, that's talking about John the Baptist, shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Watch that. The heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. This is a family blueprint. This is how God designed it to be. Why? Because children desire to give their hearts to their parents. You say, you know what? I have a child who is one of those undercover rebels. You know which kind I'm talking about? On the outside looks good, and in a previous meeting we had talked about that. The problem was within the heart. The behaviors could be all good on the outside, but the problem was within the heart. The Lord could talk about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lip, but their heart is far from me." God requires a heart relationship with him as a heavenly father. We might have time to look at that a little bit later. Did you say, I have a child who you might say is an undercover rebel. How can I deal with him or her? Can I just softly say this? If there are areas in your child's life that you need to go to help them through it, even the most severe rebel appreciates being caught red-handed. Because as a rebel goes through life, breaking this rule of God, that rule of God, the other rule of God, their rebellion leads them down a path of confusion. We've already talked about that in gospel meeting. And as they go down that path of confusion, falling and falling and falling again, you know what that rebel is saying within their heart? As they get back up after falling and dust the dust off of their clothes, they're saying in their heart, I wish someone cared enough to catch me. Only there was someone there who cared enough to catch me. You say, oh, that's not in the heart of a rebel. Yes, it is. For a parent to be able to go down deep inside of their child to know what's going on and to be able to, you might say, catch them, to preserve them, helps them feel secure and loved. Not just anything goes in this house. It's not how it works. To catch the rebel. Now, again, this is going to be a little bit difficult because oftentimes we've trained the exterior to do all the right things, to say the right things, to behave in the right ways on the outside. But rebellion, remember, is an inside problem. It's a heart problem. Can I just ask us as parents, do we know what's going on inside our child? We can observe the exterior and what they're doing, and they can fool us. You know your own heart. But do we know what's going on inside the heart? Because that's where the core is in the child. Children have a desire to give their heart to their parents. I don't have a whole lot of time here, but I just want to mention this one little thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to, when we look at these things, I like to not just apply it to the family, but I like to take the concept and actually apply it to our spiritual lives in our everyday lives, because not all of us are parents. But these concepts are good for all of us. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Just applying this spiritually very quickly. When we got saved, when we were born again, the new nature that God gave to us, he put inside of there a desire to give our heart to God as our Heavenly Father. Let me make very clear, I'm not saying, I'm not preaching, give your heart to Jesus and you're saved. That's a false gospel. I don't believe that. I don't believe in give your heart to Jesus and then you're saved, because there's no blood in there, in that gospel, and there's no confession of my own sin in that gospel. Let's make clear that I'm talking about a person after they're saved. The relationship with God as being his children and he, our Heavenly Father, he has placed a desire within our hearts to want to give him our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. The Lord was talking about the scribes and Pharisees. They praised him with their lips, but their heart was far from them. As Christians, God has placed a desire within our heart. Now again, this doesn't save you. I want to make that clear. After you're saved, God has placed within our hearts a desire to love him, to give him our heart. So easy it is for our heart to wander. The hymn writer could say, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart. There it is. Take and seal it. Don't let it go. Seal it. For what? Thy courts above. There's a hymn writer who's watching and he's saying, my heart is so prone to wander. But I recognize that my relationship with God requires me to give him my life, my loyalty. That's my heart. What made the Laodiceans cold? They were neither cold nor hot. What made them that lukewarm? Their heart was in the wrong place. What makes it where our young people, as they grow up and they begin to leave, they go out into the world and the assemblies appear like they're getting smaller and smaller, and it feels as if the pressure is coming on. I want to tell you what that is. We lost their heart. We didn't train them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. We were good at training the outside. What happened to the inside? That's how we lose them. And that's how we, even in Christian homes, sad to say, can create a rebel. And we shouldn't. But those of us who are in the assembly, let me go ahead and challenge each one of our hearts. Where's your heart today? Where's your life? And where's your loyalty? Is it with the things of God? Is it in God's assembly? Or do you find it easy to wander off elsewhere? I'm going to give you this quick example. Sorry, I'm over just a couple minutes, but let me just give it. If Peter was warming his hands by the fires of this world, that's when he went astray. But when he was warming his hands by the fire that the Lord had prepared for him on the shore after resurrection, that's when his heart was put in the right place. Lovest thou me? Thou knowest that I love thee. Where you warm your hands is where your heart is going to go. You cannot expect to be away from the assembly meetings for a whole month and your heart not wander. You cannot expect to be away from the assembly meetings and your heart not wander. Out of all the majestic places in this world that God has made, there's one place that interests him the most, and that's God's assembly. Colorado's beautiful in the fall. Guess where God is in the fall? Right here. The Grand Canyon is beautiful too. Guess where God is? Right here. Because God's interests are right here. And when your heart is in the assembly, just like John Fitzpatrick was telling us recently. You'll want to be there. You say, yes, but so-and-so, look at how much they miss. And so-and-so, look at how much they miss. Try to use that excuse when you're in the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord's looking at you, and he's got nail-pierced hands, and he's saying, you see that what that cost me? Try to tell him, but so-and-so wasn't there. Will it hold any water? None. Don't compare yourself with so-and-so. What does God want you to do? What does the truth of the Word of God tell you? What does the truth of the Bible tell you? What convictions are there? Is there something in your life that God has been annoying you about and convicting you about? So you got to get rid of this thing. What is it? What is it? You have to let go, whatever it is. Can I just plead with you, Christian, today? Your convictions are going to measure how you grow spiritually. That's a good measuring mark right there. If you haven't learned something new from the Word of God and implemented into your life for a very, very long time, then you're not growing. The purpose of the Word of God, we were talking about this morning too. This is an infinite book. You can never get to the bottom of it. God expects you to read it. God doesn't just expect you to listen to it and put it aside. He expects you to apply it in your life. Because a foolish man, he listened to God's word too, but his house fell. God's not just intending to have you listen to God's word. For you to grow, you have to act on God's word. Then you're growing spiritually. Trust a few of these thoughts will help us. Those of us who are parents with our children, and those of us who are saved on our way to heaven, to put in perspective what God feels about his assembly and where my heart is.